Welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast, where it's all about making the ultimate leap from your 9 to 5 and building a business and life you love, all while doing it your way. I'm your host, Amanda Bolin. Let's get started.
A few weeks ago, I shared 3 ways to replace your income and leave your 9 to 5. If you haven't already tuned into that episode, be sure to do so either before or after listening to this one. In today's episode, I want to cover the 4 strategies on how to price your services and offers for profit. I'll be sharing some of the basic principles to consider when starting out. Depending upon whether you're selling a product, that can be info product, which is online product, or a physical product, or a service, may determine how you price your offer. For today's podcast, I'm going to dive deeper into these service-based businesses, such as a VA or a contractor, but still sharing some things to consider if you are selling a physical or info online product. So to begin, selling a physical product, like an online boutique that I shared with in the previous episode a few weeks ago, you want to consider the cost of goods, the clothes itself that you're paying for, and you want to consider other fixed costs and variable expenses that go into your online boutique. Again, I'm not an expert by any means, but like I said, always find someone who is successful at what it is that they're doing, identify the process, and model them. The next one is selling a digital product. The benefit of selling a digital product is that it, regardless of how many people purchase, your costs tend to stay the same, whether it is for one person or 100 people. Take, for example, Her Way Society. We are uploading content and hosting office hours, whether it is for one person or it is for 1,000 people. Now, then again, we may add more office hours when we get to 1,000 people. But as you can see with an online course, regardless of how many courses you sell, you're still going to create it one time, whether it's you're selling for one person or many people. And so the costs are going to be a little bit different and the variables are going to be a little bit different. Just to get you in the mindset of when you're thinking about how to price your digital product or physical product. But now let's dive into how to price yourself if you're a service-based business owner, such as contractor and a VA. So there are 4 main ways to price your services. 1 is an hourly rate. 2 is project-based, 3 is retainer, and 4 is hybrid. Here, before diving into the 4 types, I want to give a quick plug for Profit First, and that is a book. So if you haven't read it already, it is by Mike Michalowicz. He is a genius. I highly recommend doing so. I wish I would have read this book way before I started my contracting business. And that is because he helps you build profit into your business. He leverages percentages so that every dollar your business makes, it is already assigned to a category that you have broken out into, such as taxes, operations, payroll, profit, and a few others. Using this method will further assist you in pricing your services and projects appropriately. This is extremely helpful, especially when you're starting out, because your income will most likely fluctuate in the beginning. A personal example that I can provide is that when I was a contractor and started out back in 2012, some months I would earn twice as much as the previous month. It was all based on client needs. And this made it extremely difficult for me to figure out how much to pay myself, how much to set aside for taxes, because I was focused on the dollar amount that I was bringing in versus assigning a percentage to it, which Mike teaches you in his book. So for example, while my income from month to month may have changed, the percentages once I implemented Profit First didn't. It allowed me to find predictability. I knew that 20% of every dollar coming in was for taxes. And so therefore, it didn't matter if I brought in $10,000 or $5,000 a month, I knew that 20% was going to taxes. Same thing for owner's pay. In the book, he walks you through how to determine what you need to pay yourself every month, similar to what we discussed in episode 315, and find a percentage that feels good for you so that every dollar comes into your business has a percentage tied to it. So depending upon the business, the type of business you might have, it might look like something, it might look similar to this. You have 25% saved for taxes, 30% is into an operating account, 30% goes into owner's pay, and 10% is for payroll, which if you hire or work with a VA, and 5% is profit. So if you bring in, let's say $10,000 a month on average, then 25% of that is for taxes. So $2,500 is for taxes, $3,000 is for operating, $3,000 is owner's pay, and $1,000 is for payroll, and $500 is for profit. Let's go back to the drawing board. And if you realize that you need to pay yourself $5,000 a month in owner's pay, not $3,000, then you can go back and do a couple of different things. You can either play with the percentages that you have, or you realize that you have to bring in more revenue every single month in order to sustain owner's pay at the pace in which you're doing. So again, if you haven't checked out Mike Michalowicz's Profit First book, I highly recommend picking that up and reading. Whether or not you already have a business or you are a full-time business owner and you haven't read it, definitely do it. It's worthwhile. It will change the way you look at things and it'll help you look at your business through a lens of how to build profit in it. Okay, so now let's dive into specifically more about the four different strategies and types and ways that you can price your services for profit. Let's start with hourly rate. This is where you track your time and you are paid for the number of hours that you work. Pros on this is that, again, it's a low barrier when starting out and easy to quantify for you and your client. For example, if you work X amount of hours for X amount of price, this is how much money you'll make. And so it's easy from a math perspective. And again, it's very predictable for the business owner as well. As an example, my recent VA that I have brought on, Jennifer, we started out literally projecting her working 3 hours a week. And that was just something that we had worked out. I said, I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know that I need someone in a specific role. And so we're going to start out at 3 hours a week. So you can easily start something while you're working full time, find someone even for 3 hours a week. People will pay you to do that. I'm doing that with my VA, Jennifer. So it is possible. The cons of going an hourly rate is that, again, the focus is on the amount of time you spend versus the result that you produce. And over time, you'll become more efficient at what you do because it just, hopefully you'll become more efficient at what you do, and most likely you will, thus taking you less time to complete a task. And thus what you may have gotten paid $20 an hour to do now only takes you 30 minutes. So now you only earn $10 for that task. This is not a bad thing at all, especially keep in mind that it is important to just start. And so even though you know long-term, you don't wanna be hourly. And if you are hourly and you enjoy it, that's great. It's whatever you decide makes sense for you. Just don't overwhelm yourself with thoughts that cause you to paralyze yourself from taking action. Just start. The second is project-based. This is when you promise to deliver a project based on an agreed amount. So an example of this might be creating a Squarespace website. When you go to put the project together and determine the price that you are setting the build out of the Squarespace website, or it could be anything else that you want to put in there, is that you'll probably most likely use an idea a little bit about your hourly rate, but what you're doing is you're packaging it and it's just a one lump sum of money that you are giving your client as a project base. So the pros of this is that you have the expected income and you know exactly what you're going to deliver. It's going to help you create your schedule. I know I've seen people online say that they only do X amount of Squarespace websites per year. It takes them 2 weeks for each client and they take X amount of clients a year and it costs X amount of price. So that is another way that you can build out predictability with your income in your schedule. The cons that you can run into with project-based is that if you misjudge the actual time and energy it takes you to deliver the website or a different project, your actual effective hourly rate will decrease. And you may also be finding yourself seeking out new clients all the time to continually fill your pipeline. But I would not let that discourage you because I've seen plenty of women in the online space really fill their pipeline to a place where it is hard to book with them and to use their services. So it can be done. And so for example, going back to the cons about misjudging time and energy is that if you price a Squarespace website for $2,000 on the basis of $50 an hour, but fail to consider revisions, the time it takes you for the revisions, the time for the meetings with the clients, you'll end up spending more hours on the project than you projected, decreasing your overall hourly rate. So when you set a project-based rate, you want to make sure you consider everything that goes into it so you can price it appropriately. The third is a retainer, and this is an agreed upon amount in exchange for services every month. So the pros of this is that it's expected income. You are compensated on the results and not your time spent doing the agreed upon work, even if you become more efficient at doing it. The cons, a potential downfall, is that by failing to have a proper contract in place to protect yourself, a client may find themselves wanting to cancel at any given time. So you want to make sure that you put a contract in place that has a retainer for a certain amount of months to help build in predictability for you from a revenue standpoint. And that way, if you start a project contract as a retainer and it's 6 months, and your client gives you a 2 month notice prior to the end of the contract, it gives you some time to fill the void of that client. Similar to if you are in an apartment building like my husband and I live in, they always ask for a 60-day notice because then that way they can go out and market the fact that they then have this unit that is going to be on the market and will be available in X amount of days. So keep that in mind. Again, it's a great option to convert hourly clients into having some experience working for them and to provide them even more value, thus allowing you to increase your prices and your overall hourly effective rate. The third is hybrid. So this is when you do any of the two approaches listed out earlier and combined with one another. You can offer the client a quote for a project. Let's take Squarespace one, for example, and then also include your hourly rate in the event they want additional work or support done. My developer for Her Way Society priced me out on a full project-based rate, and then now I pay her a monthly retainer to help on with some technical things and also to host some of my plugins and software tools that we use for Her Way Society. Another example is that lawyers may have a set fee on incorporating a business, but then on top of it, they also have hourly rates that you can then use them for their counsel and get advice from them. And so there's a couple different ways that you can also price, and hybrid is one of them. Things to consider regardless of the type of pricing you choose, whether that be hourly, project-based, retainer, or hybrid, is you really want to consider your time, taxes that you're going to save for every dollar you make. Typically, it's anywhere from 20 to 30%, but it's really dependent upon your unique situation because no one's situation is the exact same, and any cost of goods sold and overhead. So if your hourly rate, if you're not sure what to set your prices at, check out what the market says. Ask around, and I recommend not straying too far from market prices because you really want to build up your reputation and value and then increase your prices. It is better to undercommit and overdeliver. For the retainer, consider how many hours it will take you to complete that task. On the proposal, focus on what you'll produce and the value it will bring versus how many hours it will take you to complete. Now, project-based, I'm just going to give you an example, a real-life example of how it is so important to consider things that go into your business. So the example I'm going to use is a makeup artist. So pretend that the makeup artist charges $75 per individual to do makeup for a wedding. And if this is the case, she would want to consider the time it would take her to go to and from the venue, if there's any parking costs, the time it takes her to actually do the makeup, the usage of the actual product, and taxes. You want to make sure that you are making money from your business and you are building in healthy profits. Going through an exercise, especially if you are a service-based business owner such as this, to really ask yourself all the time that you invest, whether it's transportation, it's parking, the usage of product, everything that you spend time doing it, does it really justify what it is that you're charging? Going through this can help give you confidence to raise your prices when you may realize that, in fact, you don't have enough margin in your business. And this is why money is not coming in as quickly as it should be, because your services or products are not priced appropriately. In the beginning, as you choose the strategy that you're going to use moving forward, you may also want to make sure that you have patience with yourself and know that your prices might be lower than what you would hope and what you plan on having them be long term, but that is okay because you're getting practice, you're delivering value, and you're building up your referral network. And with time, business owners will pay for services that are done well and done right. You also want to be conscious of overpromising and underdelivering. Always make sure that when you enter into an agreement with a client that you deliver the agreed upon results and deliverables, if not going above and beyond. I hope you enjoyed this episode today. If you'd like to see more episodes like this, reach out to me on Instagram. I'm pretty active at She Did It Her Way, and I would love, love, love to continue the conversation over there, or you can join our private Facebook group, Her Way Community, and I hope to see you there. If you enjoyed today's podcast episode, you can head on over to shedidithwaypodcast.com where you can access the entire vault of She Did It Her Way podcast episodes and more information all about how to make the ultimate leap from your 9 to 5 and If you enjoyed today's episode, I would be so grateful if you headed on over to iTunes and left a review letting me know what you love about the She Did It Her Way podcast. Until next time, keep doing it your way.